And go.
Welcome to part... I don't remember how to start.
And take two.
Welcome to the Park Stop Podcast, episode 7. My name is Alicia Stella, and with me as always is Ian.
Hey, kids. I made Alicia laugh too soon. My bad.
Remember, you can catch us on iTunes, and feel free to leave a review if you like what we do.
This is stop forgetting to say your own name.
I tend not to. And then I stumble over yours, so the intro is just null and void every time. Today we're going to be talking about lots of new announcements that have been made for both the Hagrid coaster and for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge since our last recording.
I've had 24 hours to get all my research done, and it's mostly from memory, so I apologize ahead of time.
Yeah, today is the day. We're recording this on March 12th, and today they actually announced, like, everything for Hagrid's Magical Creatures Motorbike Adventure.
It should be longer.
Through the Dark Forest.
Here we go.
On a Tuesday. It's a very specific
ride. Tuesday?
Oh, man. It's crazy. Today's been really surreal. I mean, besides the fact that I only got like 3 hours of sleep, it was like the night before Christmas. I couldn't sleep last night. I was actually excited.
And I had the flu, and I also lost my voice on Saturday yelling. It was great. So Fluffy, I saw Fluffy. I want to hug him.
Yeah, we saw aerial photos of Fluffy. Like, he's big.
He's real big. I want to hug
it. He's real big.
I love dogs.
But how crazy is it that Universal actually told us that Fluffy's on the ride?
It's awesome. It's very cool. And the Devil Snare.
Yeah, that's that too. They kind of hinted that there's a drop track because they said you'll be dropped into the Devil Snare pit. But it's surreal to me to see all these things actually get announced. I thought we were just going to be talking about rumors for the rest of time.
Yeah, they don't announce anything, right? Not till it's open.
Yeah, this is we got a few months and they're not even, I don't know what else there is to announce.
That Alicia was right. I don't know. What else you got?
Yes, I put out that video June 1st, 2018. And I said there will be Fluffy. There will be Devil's Snare. I did say that the Ford Angular would be flying toward us. I was wrong. It'll just be parked, but that's probably because they had technical issues.
Did you say June 1st?
I did. Why?
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, it'll be almost a year before it opens. I talked about maybe a little too soon. I talked about a lot of this stuff, but it's crazy. Here we are. And they like flat out. And I put at the end of the video, like we might see other creatures. And I showed a unicorn and a centaur and a thestral. And they admitted today there's actually going to be a centaur.
Which is awesome for me because that's what I wanted. Yeah. And you get your unicorn.
Right. They said and more. And they didn't explicitly say unicorn, but we totally saw it in an aerial photo the other day. And also it's in the commercial. So
yeah, but it was missing
in the concept art.
Yeah, but you can't see the pointy bit on the aerial photo yet.
You can see it in the concept art.
Yeah, but you can't see it in the photo yet, which is kind of a
bummer. I have a different angle. And you can kind of see a head and where the horn might be if you imagine it to be there.
If you can't tell, Alicia's a little excited about her unicorn.
I am a little sad that that blobs by the water in the concept art we showed did turn out to be rocks.
And not cows.
They could be rock cows. These new rock creatures from Never Ending Story or something. I don't know.
Oh, man. That's wrong movies.
But no, they released a new concept art that looks strikingly familiar.
Yeah, a little bit. I saw that and you did a compare and contrast in the group. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was from good friend Scott over at the Inside Universal forums. He's quick on the GIF making. And if you call it GIF, you're wrong. Don't at me.
It's GIF. She's wrong. The first word is
so yeah,
graphic.
They released a... Yeah, but the guy who invented... We don't have time for this. So
he's wrong too.
They released a... The guy that invented is wrong.
Yes.
4.5 minute video. And they it was crazy. They showed all the same movie clips that I showed in my video from June. So I'm sitting here going, like, did I make this video?
A little deja vu for
but
you.
It was cool. Yeah. That's so just awesome. Like the commercials, it was Tom Felton, Draco, and the production designer, Alan Gilmore. And they were talking about what the ride was going to be. It showed awesome photos and video from down on the ground inside the old ruins and stuff. So it was great cool. to see different angles and things.
Yay. And Robbie Coltrane. I love Robbie. He's awesome.
He did a media event last night in the UK along with Alan and Terry Koo.
Yeah.
Is that how you say his name?
We're going with that.
We're going with that. Terry. I call him Terry for some reason.
He's not crying.
They did a little answer and question session with the media. So we got some more information than was even announced today on the blog for Universal. Like that the drop track will be 18 feet.
So stoked for that. I can't wait for
someone
that.
Someone asked. Although I think Robbie Coltrane said that the Today Cafe was opening at Islands of Adventure. So I think he got his names of parks crossed there. But that's okay.
Yeah, we're okay with that. And nobody cares about that place anyway, do they? Do they?
I'm looking forward to having alcohol at 8 a.m.
Okay, so there's one perk, but other than that, is anybody excited that it's themed to the Today Show? Is anybody actually excited about that?
More people are upset, I'm sure, than are excited. And there was also a 30-second commercial, and it showed all the creatures in CG, so now people think it's a screen ride.
I'm sure there's going to be a little bit of screens in there. Some, I mean, Robbie's not going to stand there.
There is no screens.
No screens? Yeah, they're out
How
to prove.
How can you do screens? It's outside.
They're out to make this ride prove everybody wrong about how they rely on screens for everything. Now they're going the complete opposite direction.
Yes, and then they're going to open the Bourne Stuntacular show next door, which has a giant screen.
And the crowd.
So they'll go right back to the way they used to be.
And the crowd goes mild again.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're recording this in the middle of the day, so there may be more news revealed or at least little tidbits on TV. The Today Show this morning already had Tom Felton on talking about the ride, and I think he gave away some tickets to Universal for people in the audience.
But I didn't get him, so.
No, I didn't see it yet. I haven't had time to look at it, but I imagine there'll be other TV appearances. Maybe the Tonight Show will do something. You gotta get all the synergy at NBC, you know?
Okay, so what else did we get right or have we talked about that's actually been confirmed?
They confirmed that the ride will take place at the Care of Magical Creatures class that we are attending. Hagrid is the teacher. They confirmed that the ride will go forwards and backwards. It will take place in the Forbidden Forest. It will contain new environments never seen before. Mm-hmm. It will have Fluffy, the Devil's Snare, and a drop, Cornish Pixies, and a creature never seen in the films before, which is the Blast-Ended Scroop. They didn't say it, but new information that we did not know. It will have speeds up to 50 miles per hour.
That's pretty good. I'll take it.
Yeah, there's a couple launches that I'm sure are going to, like, because there's no real big drops except for falling backwards. So I think all those speeds are coming from launches themselves.
That's pretty cool.
It has a 48-inch minimum height requirement that we did not know until today. That is the same as Revenge of the Mummy.
That makes sense. And then we've also, like we've been talking about, the sidecar and the motorcycle for the cars are going to be different experiences, I'm sure. I mean, I'm basing that off of being an actual biker who has a motorcycle.
Yeah, so you have some expert testimony here. There's been a little disagreement online about whether or not when Alan Gilmore says it'll be a completely different experience depending on whether you're sitting on the motorbike or the sidecar. And everyone's like, different experience? What, like 3 inches? Is it going to feel different?
I think it will. I think it's going to because, well, the sidecar is low and boxed in. So, and considering this coaster is going to spend a lot of time like going along the ground, it's probably going to feel like your butt's dragging. It's going to be a real crazy feeling. And then you're also boxed in, which is going to make you feel more probably safe. The motorcycle looks like you're sitting up. And even though you have a backrest and armrest, you're sitting up, sticking up out of nowhere, like on a motorcycle.
with your arms out. So
you'll be able to put your arms out and stuff. I think it's going to be a completely different feel. Yeah. One's going to be more like flying, that's and one's going to be more like you're dragging on the ground.
Yeah, because the sidecar, your hands are kind of tucked in to a little, like a something to hold inside in front of you, whereas the handlebars, your arms are outstretched. So that alone is a different experience, technically so, true.
I mean, I haven't actually sat in the cars, but just going off of that experience, and I've never sat in a sidecar, but I've been pretty low to the ground in some cars, so...
And it's not like Tron. Tron, like, you're seated so far forward and there's leg braces and stuff. This is, even though it's got motorbike type seating, you're still seated upright and you have a lap bar. So it's not like they're going to be locking your legs in place or your legs are going to be behind you.
It's
just like, this is a little simpler.
It's like
a
bucket seat with a T-bar that comes down, right?
That's what I think. Yeah,
that's what it looks like.
And they have to load fast because they're going to have that moving platform. So we got to, you know, put the lap bar down and get going.
Most definitely, but I'm looking forward to it. And like somebody in the, we were talking about this stuff in the group today too. Day and night's going to be completely different too. And so you'll have like four different ways to ride this thing, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, you're not going to really see the track coming up on you at nighttime. So, and it's going to feel more like the actual dark forest that way if it's actually dark.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I think that's actually more like four ways to ride it. So.
And they said there will be more than 1,200 trees planted for this ride.
That is a lot of trees.
No, I said there would be more than 1,000. That was close. That was the rumor I had heard. So I'm happy to hear that not only is there 1,000, there's more than 1,000. And yeah, the Centaur, that's new information today.
That's awesome. Good stuff. I'm excited for that for sure.
No clue where it is on the ride or if it's in the queue. But we do know where the unicorn is because it's in the concept art. I love that they took that simple concept art that we had seen from the leaked image and they added all the creatures on top of it and they like fleshed it out and added the surrounding area. Cool. So you can kind of get an idea of where it belongs and where
it looks really good. And all the water still looks great. I'm excited for that too.
I think it's unusual for Universal to release essentially spoilers like this. You know, you can flat out see the entire track layout and where most of the creatures are right there on the main blog image on their website.
That's pretty cool.
I guess they were like, well, someone already leaked all these details.
Let's just fill it out. Just finish it out.
Yeah, who cares anymore? Well, we still don't know for sure what's in the queue. You know, we talked about it on the last episode that I think it's going to be like an unused part of Hogwarts, but it's still possible that something with the green vines has something to do with the storyline and we don't know yet.
We'll find out, I guess. It's all like supposed to be ruins that we're going through now, right? Like unused parts of the castle and so on. So
yeah, and Gilmore said that it was going to be places we'd never seen before in the series, so that's kind of the confirmation right there that it's not anywhere we've seen.
It's gonna be prior. Awesome. I can't wait. And it's a Triumph motorcycle, so that's really cool. All right, what's next? Kitty's next.
Let's talk about Galaxy's Edge.
Good, then I can unload whatever is left in my brain.
It's interesting that not only did Disney announce that they're opening the land earlier than anyone expected, they flat out said, we're opening it earlier than we expected.
Yeah, which is awesome.
It's weird to me.
So cool.
That Disney's like admitting the fact that, yeah, that ride's not ready. So we're just going to open the other ride in a bunch of places you can spend money.
Yeah, because exactly.
We like money.
We like your money. Come give us your money while we fix this last ride.
I personally am all for it. Because now I don't have to choose which ride I'm going to run to and only have enough time in the day to do one ride. You know, I might go the first day and just do everything but the ride because I don't care that much about Millennium Falcon, to be honest. I'll get on it eventually, but I don't know if I want to wait 8 hours for it. At the same time, you know, maybe the lines will be short for everything else on that first day.
That's just a little sacrilegious, just so you know that you don't care about the Millennium Falcon ride. That's not right.
Well, let me rephrase it. I care much more about Rise of the Resistance. If that was open, I would run to that first. Now that I know that it won't be, you know, maybe I'll get some blue milk and I'll go hang out with DJ Rex.
DJ Rex, I can't wait for.
So May 31st, Disneyland is opening phase one of Galaxy's Edge. That'll be the Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run and all of the ways you could spend money. Mm-hmm. And August 29th at Walt Disney World, Disney's Hollywood Studios will be opening. The thing is, because Disneyland is first, they're requiring a one-time reservation, a free reservation to be made, I think just for the first 2 weeks, right?
I think it's the first 2 weeks. And then it's automatic if you have a hotel reservation, I think, if I'm remembering correctly.
If there's any left right
now. Yeah, exactly. Those are probably gone.
Yeah, I saw some people that are like, hey, I just happen to have a hotel reservation for that week. I guess I'm good to go. So yeah, that's a first come, first serve to get your reservation. And you still have to have a ticket to get into the park, obviously. And there will be no fast passes for this ride. And later when Rise of the Resistance opens, there will be no fast passes. And they don't know when they're going to put the fast passes out. They want to kind of let the crowds die down first. Yeah. And I think that's great.
Well, they have other stuff going on too with the opening. At least the first day for sure. But I'm sure for a little while, they're not going to be able to fully staff the land the way they talked about until people chill out and the crowds die down. So they're talking about droids and characters walking around and everything else. So that's not going to happen.
It could be years before we see droids. And we've already seen footage of a droid getting knocked over by children. So it may never happen.
I would never do that.
There will be no early entry for Disneyland, but I think there will be for Disney World by the time it happens. Yeah. So if you're staying on site, you'll be able to get in early at Walt Disney World,
which would be awesome and very helpful.
And I'm sure they'll be selling those after hours tickets, but I expect them to be a bit more than the 140, 150 they have been lately.
Yeah, maybe.
No word on that yet.
With only one ride open, I'm not sure what they can really do, though.
Pay us $150 for the right to come pay us more money for food.
Oh, they got a lot of food and they don't even have the sit down restaurant they originally talked about. That's no longer there. That got bye bye.
Makes me sad, but that's so, okay. More seating for quick service is good for me. I was going to say too, they made a point to mention on their blog post that they are not charging for admission into the land itself, because that was a rumor going around. So they wanted to clarify that they are not charging, that the reservation is just so that you don't have to wait in line when you get there. But still people are like, so how much is it going to cost to get into this thing?
I guess you reap what you sow, Disney. I don't think that's a big stretch to jump to that assumption, the way they upcharge stuff.
Well, yeah, they charged like $400 for a preview of Pixar Pier and it was all existing rides.
Exactly.
So of course we're going to think you're going to charge us.
Exactly.
And as far as previews and soft openings go, I think this is the soft opening. Like, until Rise of the Resistance is open, I'm considering this just a live soft opening. Like, it's the first announcement of a soft opening ever, essentially. Yeah.
Do you know anything about what's going on with Rise? Why it's not ready?
Yeah, there's three possibilities here. A couple weeks ago, someone reported in the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge Facebook group that there were maybe delays with that ride and it might not open with the land. And they were right. There are delays with that ride and it might not open with the land. But I think also they're opening the land probably a couple months before they were going to. So I think it's more than just delays. I think it's also a strategic move.
Yeah.
Maybe to spread out the crowds, maybe to double dip on the crowds. and maybe also because instead of working real hard to finish both rides, now they can move all the teams over to finish the one ride in the other areas, open it early, and then slowly work on the rest. Which, if there are bugs, you know, for Rise of the Resistance, then this gives them a long time to work it out without rushing. And I'd rather it not open like Flight of Passage with issues, yeah, which still has issues to this day.
Yeah. Be nice to have a nice ride that just works.
Of course, there are the more cynical of us that believe, and they might be right, that Rise of the Resistance has been put on the back burner to make a second big opening around the time of the next film's release. Now, if you believe some people, it's because there's spoilers on the ride and they want to wait till the movie's open. I don't believe that. But I could see, I've already predicted that Rise of the Resistance is not going to open until December at both parks. And it could theoretically probably open at Disneyland first, but I think they're going to hold it until it's more convenient. And I wouldn't be surprised to see it tied into a movie release date.
December, is they have one coming out this year in December 9? Yeah.
Yes.
So if they wait till December, then even if they don't mean to, it's still going to kind of be tied to the movie release.
Right. Even if they're like, you know what, it's going to be ready November something. They're like, hold it for a month. Let's just do this all at the same time. Think of the press. But I believe there is some issues. So I'd rather them spend the time to work it out.
I'd rather think that anyway, because it seems like a pretty big undertaking from the things I've heard about it and what they've done. So,
I mean, especially if they're using nearly the same technology as the Flight of Passage up and down conveyance system. Those things have been overheating like crazy. So now we have a ride that uses that kind of system. Maybe that's the issue. I'm not sure. I think it's a bunch of small issues that they're just not sure when they'll all be fixed. Well, you know,
it's like we keep hearing it's four attractions in one. So that's a lot to juggle and get right. So it's not like fixing one thing. So
yeah,
it makes sense.
I know when they were doing Skull Island, they had issues with the Wi-Fi interference because it was trackless. And this is a trackless thing that's also got other things going on. And it has to be able, like if it's locking into an elevator and it's locking into other motion-based things, every time it locks in, it has to send a signal. And, you know, that's a lot of security protocols that have to be agreeing with each other before you can really the ride.
I can't wait, though. It's going to be so cool. Okay. So there's obviously been reporters in there, and the land is still not done, but they've all said that it's pretty amazing. They say there's tracks kind of like, it makes me think of like Animal Kingdom where you see like the tire tracks and everything else on the pavement. There's droids. You can see wheels, stuff like that. Apparently.
I like it. Animal Kingdom and Islands of Adventure. They just have like frond prints in some of the areas, but then, yeah, there's like deer prints in Africa and there's So droid prints, that's pretty cool.
I guess the way that I've heard it described, at least for Disneyland, because that's where everybody went to go see this stuff, the entry is kind of like the railway entry at Walt, at the Magic Kingdom. So you're going to get narrowed in, and then it's going to open up to a big vista. Mm-hmm. I guess it's kind of like, it sounds like it's two different kind of areas in one park that are very different. Black Spire proper is kind of, it's kind of like the First Order. The Resistance is more like in the woods, kind of, and you're not going to be able to see between the two. So the story is something
is the Resistance.
Go ahead.
Is it a base? Is that like a secret hidden
base?
They're
just bringing stuff in to kind of like try and attack kind of thing. Like they have stuff coming into the woods.
So it's a temporary area.
Yeah. Which like is just setting up. Yeah. Which is kind of like what explains like the X-Wings just sitting in the woods and all that we've heard about.
Okay.
So the Millennium Falcon has an overview. So you can see it when you walk up to it. You can also see it from above to make sure you can get a picture in front of it, I guess, with like, and nobody behind
you. So those windows, the windows and the aerial photos are actual windows from the queue?
Those are from the queue, but I think there's also an overlook deck apart from the queue. The queue is two stories from what I gather. The second story is looking down. The first story is looking up. And I guess at some point in the queue, it makes you feel like you go back outside, like you're going into that that set piece that you walk under. Mm-hmm. So you feel like you're going in, you enter the famous guest area that you see in all the movies with the chess table and everything, kind of chill there. Then you get on to fly the Millennium Falcon, and there's tons and tons of buttons, and then everything looks legit and real. And I guess everything looks worn and used and like it's really part of the Falcon. So
there's like four fake courtyards and the queue winds around. So after you saw it through the window, later on you get twisted around and then you go walking up like the back door to the Falcon, the normal entry.
Yeah, I believe so.
And there's four of those. So you don't know. Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder if the two that are farther away are easier to tell that you're not going to that same one you entered.
I don't know, but that's what I got from listening and reading. I guess so. There's like an engineer, a gunner, and a pilot on each side. You can no longer just, like, if somebody's having a bad day, they can't just crash the Millennium Falcon on you. There's some kind of thing set in there.
Okay, we know that for sure now.
So everything is real time. So whatever you do in that cockpit is going to have real time. What's the word I'm looking for?
Man, ramifications?
Yeah, real time ramifications, all that stuff. And then on top of that, so the way that they're going to integrate the way everything that goes on is the Play Disney Parks app. Apparently that's going to track how well your team did on the Smuggler's Run attraction.
Oh, so it's not on your Magic Band. You have to actually log into an app to be able to track.
So this is the thing. So Disneyland doesn't have the Magic Band. So like I said, the reporters were all seen at Disneyland. So as far as I know, it's all tied to the Play Disney Parks app. And it also, the Play Disney Park app will have other things that happen. There's like translating languages and all kinds of other tasks and interact with things. So there's more to it than just the Magic Band tracking what you're doing. So
unlike Pandora, they're not going to sell us a $30 translator with $10 refill card.
Apparently
packs.
Not. But this is so, you know, like I said, all the reporters got to Disneyland, not Walt Disney World. So I don't know what the differences are going to be with the Magic Band integration.
I mean, that's a good way to get me to actually download the Play app because I haven't done it yet.
It seems to be a large part, like integrated into a lot of this stuff. So like I said, language translation, tasks, interact with things. All kinds of stuff, I guess, is what it sounds like. So they're trying to get us all to get the app.
So even though the Rise of the Resistance has no opening date, they still took the reporters through some of that too,
they did,
right?
About a third of it, from what I gather. Mm-hmm. So the queue has been most commonly compared to Flight of Passage, the length. It goes through, it looks like laser cut stuff. There's actually some bench seating in there. Stuff like that actually happens. So you go through the queue, you went to a room with a hologram of Rey, and I think BB-8 is an AA. And they tell you they're trying to recruit you to help them with the First Order, like fight the First Order. Then you actually go outside again. And then you get onto that ship that we talked about, where you actually stand in it as a transporter kind of ship.
To take you to space.
Yeah, and I guess Nian Nun is one of the pilots in there. And then once you get on there, I guess, oh, I forgot. When you're outside, you pass Poe's X-Wing. He has a specific looking X-Wing. Mm-hmm. And he's actually kind of like following you up. So he's going to be with you. I guess he's going to break in and out while you're on the transporter talking to us.
Oh, like a briefing?
Yeah, kind of like what we're doing. And then obviously we get the tractor beam like you and I discussed before, I believe, on this.
Yeah.
Tractor beam.
We were just guessing though for some of this.
Yeah. Yeah, we were. So the tractor beam takes you inside of the starship.
So wait, the Rey is a hologram, but BB-8 is actually there. I wanna clarify this.
That's what I think I remember. I got a lot of this from Carly Wiesel's articles and listening to her on a couple podcasts. She's awesome. She's very fun.
And she wrote for the Travel and Leisure article, right?
Yeah, she's got a couple awesome articles up. She split up all of her stories, so there's some cool stuff up there. You should check her out. So you get tractor beam, Star Destroyer. When you get off the Star Destroyers, the hangar we talked about with all the stormtroopers. So there's going to be about 50 of them. Some of them are animatronics. And I guess the screen that's in there is like 100 feet.
Yeah, the opening out to space.
Yep.
Because it's been described to me as like the biggest room in a dark ride ever. And it's mostly just for the loading area or the waiting before you even start the ride. So it's going to be incredible.
And then I guess there's cast members that are going to be dressed as First Order shuffling off the crowd to like a holding cell. And once you're in there, Kylo Ren is going to show up somehow as a hologram, an AA. Nothing's been confirmed. Huh. And he's going to say something to you. And that's pretty much where their tour ended.
That's cool. I didn't know that. I know there's animatronics later, but a hologram would be really cool to kind of like to let us know how we're scum and that we're going to the brig or whatever. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Carly asked about it and she said that they just said he's going to appear in multiple forms. So she's not sure what's going to show up there exactly.
Well, but, spoilers for the new movie. He's dead. He's a Force ghost. He's going to be a fusion effect the whole ride. We had no idea.
That's just so. And oh, I forgot to mention this on the Smuggler's Run. Hondo is over there. He's recruiting you to try and help him smuggle things. That's where that animatronic is going with a droid.
Where is that?
That's at Smuggler's Run.
Out front? Like, come on in. I need some help.
I don't know where about it is in the queue, but he's trying to recruit you and he's got some kind of droid with him. Smuggler's Run will have a single rider line.
Ooh.
But nothing on Rise.
Yeah, I doubt it'll be open on the first day, though.
No, or probably not.
In the Passage's case, never. Like, they put the sign out front, and as soon as you walked through, it merged into FastPass, And when the Imagineers handed over to operations, operations is like, you do realize you didn't actually build a single rider queue. And they're like, yeah, but you can just share the same one. They're like, no, you can't. If 1,000 people go into the single rider queue, then the fast pass person coming in has to wait until they're done and they should be going first. So they never opened it. So when we talked about this on episode 4, A New Hope, we briefly talked about the different restaurants, some of the sales things and the merchants, but we didn't know the names of anything except for Oga's. And yeah, we didn't really know the scale of a lot of things like the restaurant. We thought that Oga's Cantina was going to be a sit down, and it may very well have been originally planned to be a sit down restaurant, but they probably realized that they're going to have a hard enough time with reservations for the lightsabers. They don't need to deal with reservations for food too. So is Oka's Cantina, is it just a bar?
Yeah, it's pretty much just a bar. They have a standing bar and some other places, I think, some little like cutout areas for you to sit in. Pretty much similar. I'm in my head, I'm seeing it similar to the cantina you see in episode 4, A New Hope.
And this is where DJ Rex is going to be.
Oh, yeah. In all his glory. And so, from what I gather, his whole thing is 3 hours long with about an hour's worth of music.
3 hours.
And it is, in fact, Paul Rubens. He's definitely back.
Yay.
So stoked for that dude.
So wait, if there's going to be no reservations for the bar, it's going to be like, I guess, like Trader Sam's, where there's just a line out the door and you just wait till a table or an area opens up? Or
probably.
Like, I just want to go see DJ Rex, and I'm going to like have to wait 2 hours to go in, because in Disneyland, especially, that's the only place you can get alcohol.
Yep.
So I imagine some people are going to park themselves at that bar and then never leave.
Yep. And you can't leave Disneyland. Just to be clear, you can't leave Oga's in Disneyland with alcohol. You have to stay there and drink it. Walt Disney World is probably not going to have that rule.
No, because we have the baseline tap house just outside, and you can wander around with your beer.
So
speaking of, do you want to talk about some of the drinks now that we know more than just one name of drinks?
Yeah. So we got lots of drinks at Oga's. And they all come in some cool looking glassware too. It's pretty cool. So there's a Bespin Fizz.
Do you get to keep any of the glasses?
As far as I know, that would be no. I don't think you need to. So there's
that would be pretty cool.
There's a Bespin Fizz. There's a Bloody Rancor. There's a Dagobah Slug Slinger. There's a Fuzzy Tauntaun. There's a Jedi Mind Trick. There's a Jet Juice. There's the Outer Rim.
Wait, Jet Juice? Is that named after Dexter?
Whoa.
Dex Jetster? Is that his name?
Are you hurting yourself over there?
the diner owner from Phantom Menace. That's got to be. No, it's just Jet. Okay.
Yeah, it's just Jet. I don't know how to spell it exactly. So, and then there's the Spear and Calf and the T-16 Skyhopper and the Yub Nub, which seems to be your favorite thing to say. And those are all the alcoholic drinks.
Because I missed the song. They cut it out into the special editions. Yub Nub.
Yub Nub. So if you want to find Alicia, just go to just go to Oga's Cantina and listen for the drunk woman singing Yub Nub.
Yub Nub. Hey, DJ Rex, you take requests?
And then the non-alcoholic drinks there are the Black Spire Brew, the Blue Bantha, the Carbon Freeze.
I was looking at the pictures. The Black Spire Brew looks like a coffee, an espresso or something.
Sounds like a latte. A coffee.
Looks like a latte. And the Blue Bantha has like a cronut on top with a bantha horn. I think that's neat. Did you see the picture
I sent you? I think the Blue Bantha is actually this is what I know about. Oga's has a blue milk that's served in a frosted glass, and it supposedly comes with a Rice Krispie cookie, which is what that looks like, with a horn on top.
Oh, yeah, so no, you're right.
I think because that's the blue milk, that their version of
it. It's frozen outside, but inside it's just cold.
Yep.
Okay, yeah, so I think that's what that is. So it's bantha milk.
Yep, pretty much. And then there's the Carbon Freeze, the Cliff Dweller, the Hyperdrive Punch It, the Jabba Juice, the Mugen Tea, the Terran Tea, or the Terrine Tea, and the Cantina Mix. And I want to sit there and watch drunk people try to order some of this stuff. It's going to be amazing.
Carbon Freeze looks like a Flamin' Moe with boba balls in it.
What'd you call me?
Boba, like popping boba.
I know, it's so weird.
There's a lot of these that are references to things that happened in the Star Wars movies.
Oh yeah, almost
like,
all of them.
Like Oga has been watching the Han Solo and the Luke Skywalker saga. So it's named after things that they've encountered. Mm-hmm. Punch It. Really? It's called Punch It? Is it a punch?
Called Punch It. Hyperdrive Punch It.
Hyperdrive Punch It. That's what he says to Chewie.
I think there's also...
How does Oga know that? So there's a bone on top of the bloody rancor, and you think that's edible?
Yeah, I heard that's a meringue thing.
Oh, okay.
I think
okay,
it's made like by one of the little meringue puffs. I think it's made by one of the fancier places in Disney Springs. I think one of those places makes it.
Like the patisserie or whatever it's called, Amorettes.
I'm probably butchering that name.
Okay, that's
I can't
really
remember
cool.
exactly, but I think somehow one of those places in Disney Springs is making that for them. It came up with that and made it for them.
Nice.
And don't quote me on that, but I think it's a meringue thing.
No, it looks like meringue in the picture now that you say it. Moof juice? Did you say moof juice?
I gotta look for moof juice.
the podcast has to come to a halt because I saw the word moof juice.
Where did you see moof juice?
It's in a picture. It's orange. It might be one of the outside ones, actually, now that I think about it. I don't think that's Inoga's.
No, I don't think that's Inoga's.
Okay, so outside,
off the top of my head.
Outside, we can get our frozen versions. Like the main blue milk and green milk are like frozen non-dairy drinks, right?
Yeah, the non-milk milks are at the blue milk stand.
So that's outside. So like there'll be a line, like a butterbeer line all the way through the land, just people waiting to get their rice milk. So I know it's rice milk, but it still has flavor too, right?
Yeah, they're completely plant-based. As far as I know, the blue one is definitely. And one, I think the blue is citrusy and the green milk is more fruity, if I'm remembering correctly.
No, I think I have it backwards.
The blue milk is definitely fruity.
Okay.
Green milk is citrusy. I have it backwards. You're right.
So they're like rice milk smoothies.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that
That's
sounds,
what it sounds like. And frozen.
It sounds more appetizing than seeing what Luke Skywalker's drinking out of the teat of the creature. So, you know, maybe if they put rice milk fruit smoothie on the side, it would be more appetizing. It'll probably be in parentheses underneath, like blue quotations milk.
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 Or they'll spell it differently.
Asterisk. Milk.
So then there's also a snack stand. So most of the stuff is kiosks outside. Even the stores are kind of like kiosky instead of like an actual full-size main store, from what I gather. So then there's the Katsaka's kettle, which is basically like popcorn.
Okay.
Of like sweet, spicy, salty, different kind of flavors like that. Mm-hmm. And then there's the cool one, which is Ronto Roasters kiosk.
Is that now this is Don't pod believe. Racing food?
This is pod racing food. I'm stoked for this. So
street so Ronto, meat.
Yep, Ronto Roasters. So they're gonna be there's gonna be the droid cooking your food. Then I guess he's gonna be grumpy about it. He's gonna be turning a spit and being complaining. So they have like Malrun juice. Yeah, that one. The turkey jerky and a Ronto wrap. So the Ronto wrap is basically a hot dog and pork or something.
Okay.
Roasted pork. So it's like a hot dog thing. So just take a bunch of those in your pockets or whatever. It'll go wait in line. Be all set. And then they have some non-alcoholic drinks. They have the sour sarlacc and the Tatooine.
Oh my God, there's more drinks?
Yeah, there's more drinks. Whoops.
This is our third food place so far and third set of drinks now?
Yeah, more drinks. So the sour sarlacc and the Tatooine sunset.
Oh, that sounds like because there's two of them. So is there a sit down quick service? Because I
there
talking
is.
Earlier, there's not a table service, but there is an actual quick service.
So there's a sit down quick service. It's the Docking Bay 7 food and cargo.
I'm not here for the food. I'm just here for the cargo,
yep,
please.
I just want the cargo. I think the cargo is what happens after you eat the food. It's just in your stomach. All right, so they have some kids options. They have fried chicken, macaroni and cheese, and then they have like grilled shrimp and vegetables and rice noodle salad with sweet orange dressing.
It's not like called like
no, they didn't get fancy
macaroni and cheese.
No, the adults get the fun names.
Okay. So now I'm drunk because I had six weird drinks at Oga's, and I'm going to order my food. What do I have to say to order?
Braised shock roast.
Shock roast.
Mm-hmm. Fried Andorian tip yip. Or If you're feeling like you don't want fried food, you can go with the oven roasted tip yip.
Tip yip.
And then
I hope they have numbers like they do at Santuli Canteen.
I hope they number don't. Three. I don't want to see the drunk fathers who are tired from carrying their kids around all day trying to order this stuff. No offense,
so wait,
guys.
Hold on, wait. Oven roasted tip yip. What is tip yip?
So the tip yip is like, it's a chicken that they have. From what I gather, it's an all white meat breast, and somehow they're naturally compressed into like a rectangular shape.
Oh,
to
God.
Look spacey. So there's that. So don't expect your food to look normal, which is kind of cool, actually. But hey, whatever.
They have a noodle bowl, right? I know someone posted a picture on Twitter of a noodle bowl.
Yob shrimp noodle salad.
I'm sorry, what?
Yob shrimp.
Yob shrimp. Yob shrimp?
Yeah.
They just added a weird little beginning to the word shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
So now it sounds spacey. Okay.
Then there's the oven roasted burra fish. Okay. And the smoked kudu ribs. These are kind of cool. They actually had to custom order these cuts to make them look spacy. So it looks kind of cool. Yeah. They don't look okay. Like normal ribs. Like they're kind of cut. They're cut twice, I guess. So the ribs going across the meat instead of with the meat. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Yeah, no, I can kind of see that.
And then they have like a vegetarian kind of like meatloaf thingy. It's called an Ithorian garden loaf. There's actually quite a bit of vegetarian stuff, which is kind of cool.
Well, yeah, there's lots of vegetarians in space.
Oh, yeah. So then on top of that, there's a meatball sort of version called the Felucian Garden Spread. The Garden Spread.
Sounds nasty.
And that's pretty much...
I don't want to say what that sounds like.
And that's pretty much where we end with the food, but there's also dessert. They have...
Oh, okay, dessert. At Satuli Canteen, I like the blueberry mousse cheesecake thing.
So the dessert names are very boring and plain, which is really strange. Okay. So there's raspberry cream puff with passion fruit mousse. And there's a chocolate cake with white chocolate mousse and coffee custard.
All right. Well, those sound very similar to the two Satuli Canteen ones. Are they weird spheres too? Or are they different? Do you have pictures of that?
Yeah, there's weird. They look kind of weird. They look kind of good, but they look kind of weird. The cream one's like they both have like these little like chocolate chip things on them, and they're on these like oblong dishes. It looks like they look like they're sitting on space. It's kind of like a black plate with like blue and speckles that look like stars.
Pretty interesting. I'll see them when I make the video version. Now that you named every kind of food and drink, I'm gonna have to find every picture.
Most of them, most of them are on Disney Food Blog. I'm looking right at them.
Okay. Oh, that makes it easy.
Yeah,
I'll scroll through the page and
you can see you can see the hot dogs in a taco looking flatbread shell thing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That sounds disgusting.
Mm, they look kind of good.
And so does a brick of chicken, though. Chicken brick. What was it called?
Tip-yip.
Tip-yip chicken brick. I'll be so drunk from the $30 drinks, I won't care anyway.
Okay.
So I'm going to stay for all 3 hours of his set.
I sent you the picture.
Sorry, ma'am. You have to leave, ma'am. You can't stay any longer. I'll order another one. Leave until he's done. Now, I did see that they're going to have their own version of like Ollivander's where you can build your own lightsaber.
The stores.
Everyone's saying there's only a capacity of 14 people at a time. Do you have any idea how long it's supposed to be? Or is this like a 2 minute thing? All right, in and out, people. Come on, pick your crystal and shove it in. Let's get out of here.
I don't know.
We got 14 more people waiting at the door.
I don't know. There's four crystal options in there. And then I guess on top of that, to get the good money out of you, I guess they have like four legacy or something lightsabers that are already pre-made that are probably very expensive.
I see.
And the sad part is that they, even though you and I saw the patents for that retractable blade, these don't have that. So they're just hard, non-breakable plastic is what they're called.
Which is weird because maybe that's why they have such low capacity on this, because you're not going to be able to take these on any of the rides.
Nope. I heard there's a sling or something you can get with them. So like everything you can buy, like bigger things like the droids, there's like a backpack you can buy. And then there's like this has I heard this you can, has a sling you can buy.
There is one droid I will be buying. You'll never guess which one it will be.
DJ Rex.
No, yes.
Yes, yes, you will be.
So wait, did you say something about him actually playing music?
Oh, yeah. So apparently he rolls around. You can like put him down. He'll roll around. And then you can tie him to your phone. You can play music through him. And I guess there's an option.
Oh, so your own music.
Yeah, you can play your own music through him. I would imagine they're going to sell the music that he plays. It's an hour long.
Okay.
That just happens to be the length of, you know.
Okay. An album, yeah.
Yeah. So his music loop is apparently an hour, but his whole show is three. But you can also, I guess you can turn his DJ commentary off and on too. So you can have him playing your music and then commentating over it.
While he's talking, I've always wanted to do this.
I know you're going to have one of those.
This is your first time, but it's my first time too.
You're probably going to have more than one of those.
Oh, did they talk to each other like Furbies? That was my hope.
No. The DJ Rex bots do not talk to each other as far as I know.
Oh, do the other ones?
No, but I guess they interact with certain parts of the area. So they'll
as you walk around.
Yeah, so they'll beep and stuff.
I know the media was told, but you're not supposed to put them on the ground because they know what happened to their own droids, so they don't want you to get them broken either.
Probably. So, like I said before, they sell a backpack for them, so you can just throw them in there, and then they'll make noises and stuff while they're
I guess that's kind of like it took them a while, but the shoulder banshees at Pandora, when people didn't want to use them, you know, you have to shove it back into their box. So they actually started selling like a little pet carrier, like purse, like a like a Paris Hilton dog purse for your banshee. So you could still play with it and it could be, you know, in a shoulder harness. So a backpack for your droid. What about the pet shop?
Oh, the creature stall?
Yeah. So I think I saw a picture with a porg.
Yeah, there's a porg, there's a tauntaun, there's rathtars, there's wampas. I guess they all, like the porg, I guess, is a puppet. The tauntaun reacts when you pet it. Like all the, there's an on button for the, I think it's the rathtars. They start going crazy. So they all interact somehow. So there's cool stuff in there too.
Okay.
And then there's the toy market, which is, you know, just plush stuff like that. Like all
so
those.
That's all the stuff that's going to end up at the outlet stores.
Probably
3 months later, because they don't look like high quality Star Wars toys. They look like handmade merchant stuff. And what about the collectible one? I'm skimming something right now, so I'm trying to think of what other merchandise there was.
Well, there's also they have the makeshift resistance thing that has all the hats and pins and stuff like that.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Like that's going to be one of those. I think that's just going to be one of those outdoor ones with like the.
Oh, because you can buy costumes, but you can't.
Yeah.
Come, you can't go there in a costume.
From what I understand, you can't wear a costume in, but you can buy stuff there and wear it.
See, now that
I don't know for sure. Yeah, that's just something I heard.
Yeah, I heard that too, and I think it's weird because, like, the biggest thing for Potter is everyone goes and buys their wizard robes, and then the next morning you get up and you put on your wizard robes to go back. So if they don't, if they sell like a robe, a Jedi robe, and you want to bring it back the next day, like, are you not allowed to? Is it really considered a costume, or can that just be a fashion choice? I happen to wear an Obi-Wan Kenobi robe in the hot sun all the time. Thank you very much.
It just seems strange, too, because if you take into account staying at the hotel, and you want to go in and out, and then say you go to a different park first, and then you have your stuff with you, and you put it on and go back in.
Yeah.
I don't know. Then any number of ways you could be, people might leave the park and come back.
Curious.
And then, so there's the resistance version of that, and there's also a First Order area that does simple things.
Okay.
So there's like a market for that, and they have like hats and gear and model ships and pins and stuff like that as well. So you have each side has its own little supply area for clothing and stuff like that, it seems.
Well, my biggest fear is that I like the quick service as much as I do in Pandora, because then I will be going there far too often and spending too much money. Because I'm very fond of all of the quick service and the snacks and the drinks at Pandora, and it is very costly. And back when it first opened, it was like a pain in the butt to wait in line just to get into the land to go have breakfast, which they took from me. They ripped from me. But that's why I say if I go on grand opening, I probably going to skip the ride and just go get a bunch of food and drinks and hang out with DJ Rex and buy my own take home DJ Rex with a sling.
I'm thinking the place that's going to get my money, though, is the place that we talked about with the AA figure, the Doc Ondar's den of antiquities.
Oh,
it's going to have like artifacts and stuff like that are going to be in there. So
yeah. How does that work? Does like you're buying some one of a kind thing, and then when you leave, they put another one out, or
probably something like that. I'm expecting that shop to be the expensive stuff.
Oh, okay. Like the unobtainium that floats on a little pedestal in Pandora.
Yep, that you can't grab.
Yeah, it's behind
glass. I will find a way to get it. I will get it. Watch me.
So it all sounds really cool. I think you had made a note that it's bigger than people probably are thinking, so it's going to hold a lot of people.
Like, yeah, it seems like it's pretty large. Like I said, I didn't expect it to be split like they seem to be describing it, which is kind of cool. So each kind of faction has its own little area, which sounds big to me. So,
yeah. And like one is just them hiding in the nature, and the other one is a bustling mercantile area from Morocco. And then there's the spaceport with like actual ships that landed on rooftops. So it's, yep. It's got a lot of cool ideas and stuff. And I hope that they actually do have some kind of entertainment, you know, like Old West gunfights on the, like on rooftops or something, because I know there's no room to walk around. And so, you know, maybe it'll be something they bring on later when they take the droids out, when there's actually less people there. But when you think about Hogsmeade when it first opened and how it's just that really skinny road, you can understand why they couldn't fit the people in there that were lined up around City Walk. Whereas this, it looks a lot bigger. And while I think the line for a couple things like Blue Milk is going to be wrapped around the land, at least it will hold more bodies inside.
It will. But, you know, to Potter's defense, it kind of makes the land feel right without having huge walkways. So they were kind of stuck with that. So this is starting from scratch for them, basically, so they could do whatever they wanted, which...
Yeah, that's true.
It's cool, but I still wish they had, like, different areas. I wish Blackspire was in one place and some other town was here and so on and so forth.
Well, like a Disneyland, Disney World, but then we'd have to travel to both, and I just don't like traveling.
Whatever. I'll go for us both. Don't worry.
Okay. Although it does sound like the shops are going to be small, like considering how big and how much room there is in the actual land itself, the actual shops, especially if it's mostly just little outdoor kiosk type things, it might get a little, like the lines might get long. That was another thing too. Aren't they supposed to like not have normal cashiers?
Yeah, that's what I heard. I don't know exactly how that's going to work, especially in Disneyland without the bands.
They don't have magic bands. That's right.
Yeah, so I don't know how that's going to work. It's easy to figure that out here. You use your magic band like that anyway. So
yeah, well, not everyone trusts their magic band to pay for things. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. This might be one of those things that Imagineers has all these great ideas, and then they have to bring in a normal cash register because they didn't plan on it. Like Pandora didn't have any signs anywhere, and within 2 days they had to make makeshift signs that say this way to Flight of Passage, this way to Navi River Journey, because people kept asking, and they had to have a person stationed there. And they're like, you know what? Why are we paying this person? We could just have a sign. And the Imagineers are like, we don't want a sign. There's no signs in Pandora. It's like, you had your turn. It's operations turn now. Put the sign up.
I prefer it without the sign. I think it looks better. But as far as all that stuff, though, like Carly specifically, when she was talking and writing, obviously, she specifically said that she was shut down on every ops question she asked, because obviously Imagineering doesn't do that stuff. So
right, that's true.
I'm sure there's a plan, but they weren't giving up anything on that. So
yeah, they might not know. They're going to hand it off, and then the operations people are going to bring in the... Like, I did like that Pandora had its own bags, you know, didn't have Mickey Mouse on the fast pass touch points, you know, things like that was a kind of a model for how to do this, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Next time, Disney, you want to open a giant Star Wars land, you let me know.
Or Epcot, if you want to redo all of Epcot and let me in, I'll go first. It's cool. All right.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode. Before we go, we did want to mention that we are starting a Patreon exclusive podcast series. We've been mentioning it a few times. When we got to the certain number of patrons, we were going to start this new series, and we are just about there. So it should be coming out in a week or so.
Yep. Thank you, everybody. All the Patreons. Thank you very much for helping us out with this show. It means a lot to us.
And of course, it won't be replacing the normal Park Stop podcast. We'll still continue to do episodes. This might be something extra that we do in between the episodes. And we might talk about, like, we'll still talk about current events and news on the regular podcast, but we might talk about history or have interviews or other things on the exclusive podcast.
I can't wait to do these exclusives. They're going to be fun.
You can join Patreon for as little as a dollar a month. Every little bit helps and goes towards us making more content more often.
If that's what you really want.
It's at patreon.com/themeparkstop.
Thanks, guys.
I hope you had fun on this trip through Hagrid's Coaster and Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. Join us next week when our topics will be Star Wars and Hagrid's Coaster.
No more Star Wars.
There will always be more Star Wars information.
Always, I'm sure.
All right. Thanks for joining us.
I'm going to the cantina. I'll see you later.
Yup.